In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And we are continuing our journey in the book of Exodus, specifically in the Ten Commandments, commandment number four, the Sabbath. We've taken a little extra time on this because it's such a misunderstood commandment, and it has so many truths both for Israel and implications for us as well. Now, we've been talking about the need to keep the Sabbath for the Israelites, and if they didn't, they were stoned. And we talked about how Israel rejected the Sabbath over 490 years, not giving their land the Sabbath rest. And as a result of that and many other sins, God hauled them over to Babylon. And for 70 years, they remained in that land until their time of judgment and chastening was up. But let's now move forward to Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene in his incarnation, and there is quite a bit of debate about the Sabbath among Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. Mark 1:21, then they, and this would be James, John, Peter, Andrew, and Jesus, went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he, that's Jesus, entered the synagogue and taught. Now, the Sabbath is clearly for teaching. Now, remember, in the calendar, the Sabbath is on our Saturday. We meet as believers on Sunday. So don't confuse the Sabbath of Saturday and call it a Sabbath, Christian Sabbath on Sunday. These are completely two different things. But clearly we can see that teaching on the Sabbath was okay. This is right and this is good because the Sabbath was a time for rest, to be with family and to worship. Mark 2:27-28, and Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is God, and he is restoring the true intent of the Sabbath from the Pharisees' legalistic burdens. What about Paul? What was his view of the Sabbath? Acts 18:4, and he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Paul used the Sabbath for teaching and evangelizing. That's awesome. Colossians chapter 2, very important passage. And let me just say, if you know of any Jehovah's Witnesses, this is an important passage to share with them because they will make the argument that Christians are not to celebrate Easter or Christmas and other special days. But Paul makes it very clear. Let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. We have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him and to serve him, and to celebrate days that are mindful of him. And so if your conscience says to you, don't celebrate Christmas, then that's fine. You don't have to celebrate Christmas. But if another family decides to celebrate Christmas and give presents and put a tree in their house and dedicate that day to the birth of Christ, even though Christ wasn't born on December 25th, then that's okay too, because the spirit and heart of those individuals is to love the Lord. Now, it's true that some of those symbols could be taken back all the way back to some pagan days and some rituals from England and so forth. But again, do those symbols have the same meaning today, those Druid images today, as a person looks at a Christmas tree? Most people today look at a Christmas tree as that tree was made by God. It's pleasing to the eyes, and it's just a good reminder of God's goodness. And so we've got to be careful how we judge others regarding the days they celebrate and how they celebrate. And if the spirit is in the right place and the spirit is the love of Christ, then let's have more days like that. Romans 14:5-6 goes on, Paul says, about these days. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. That's your conscience. He who observes the day observes it. And here's the key, to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord, he does not observe it. And I love this truth. So whether you celebrate a particular special holiday or not, the key question is this. Is this being observed for or to the Lord? That's the key. And then it goes on. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, that's fasting, to the Lord, he does not eat, and gives God thanks. So again, notice the focus here. We strip away all the symbols, all the shadows, and we get down to what matters, and that is worshiping God in spirit and truth. Now, what is the church's relationship to the Sabbath? So far, it doesn't seem like there is one. We are under the new covenant. The Sabbath was under the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Therefore, the Sabbath, seventh day, Saturday day rest, does not apply to us. In fact, there's no New Testament command to keep the Sabbath, nor is there any penalty for not keeping the Sabbath. To me, that is the greatest argument against Christians having to take the Sabbath day. And the Seventh-day Adventists have made this a significant doctrine, and the truth is we have freedom. Now, if a Seventh-day Adventist wants to worship on Saturday and rest, they have the freedom to do so. But we shall not judge them for that special day that they have chosen to do unto the Lord. Acts chapter 15, 6 through 21, Jerusalem Council did not mention at all the need to keep the Sabbath to the Gentiles. Very, very important. Now, what may strike you as something fascinating and interesting is when Christ comes and rules and reigns for 1,000 years as king in Jerusalem over the whole earth, the Sabbath will return. And that's because the theocracy of Israel is being reinstituted. Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 4 and 5. The burnt offering that the prince offers to the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish, and a ram without blemish. And the grain offering shall be 1 ephah for a ram, and a grain offering for the lambs, as much as he wants to give, as well as a hin of oil with every ephah. So this is all an offering on the Sabbath. Now, there's a fascinating passage to bring this back now. How does the Sabbath relate to us? Hebrews 4, 8 through 11 gives us the insight we're looking for. Let's read. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest. And in the Greek, that's sabbatismos. It's a different word than previous words for rest in the Greek. For the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now, I want you to understand this. This is a profound truth and insight. So let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 1, chapter 1, God works for 6 straight days and then finishes working and rests on the seventh day. God then tells Israel, I want you to work 6 days and then take a rest on the seventh day. Then the Hebrew author comes along and he goes beyond the physical week and he paints this picture. He makes the comparison, let your life be work. And then when you die, you enter heaven, which is your rest. So you can see this micro to macro level and the principle that is ultimately being operated here. And that is God has called us to serve him week by week, day by day, month by month, year by year. We as believers serve him in all the multitude of ways with the gifts and talents we have. And that is our duty and devotion, not out of law, but out of love. And when our time has expired, we go home and we rest in heaven. What a beautiful picture. In fact, Revelation 14, 13 says this idea to the martyrs of the tribulation. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So implication number one, we do need to practice rest as God modeled for us at creation. It is important that you understand as a steward of the temple of God, your body needs rest and you need to find that balance. Implication number two is Christ is our very rest for our salvation. Implication number three, there is a rest between our death or rapture until the millennial kingdom, and there is a future and final rest in the new heavens and new earth. So I hope you look at the Sabbath in this wonderful way, that we're not under the law. We are not obligated this Saturday to stop working. But we are called to be good stewards. And as Christians, we have an obligation to lay down our life, deny ourselves, carry the cross, follow Christ, and be that living sacrifice and give of our life back to the Savior, not on a duty, not as a way to merit more salvation, because we have salvation in Christ apart from our works, but we do the work as gratitude. Our works are the fruit of our salvation, not the root of our salvation. And they are the works that God has prepared beforehand. I think I want to end with this other thought. Just, I think it's so important. We focus so much on the rest side of the Sabbath. Let's not forget, there's 6 days of work. And I think we have neglected this emphasis in the Sabbath. We are to work. Now, again, we're speaking about the Israelites. But again, for Christians today, we should be busy about the business of the Lord. We are ambassadors, and we should be taking the gifts and the talents and employing them in the church, serving one another, and out there fulfilling the Great Commission. Ask God to help you to be a faithful worker so that your master is pleased. All right, let's continue on with the fifth commandment. Commandment number 5, honor your parents. Verse 12 of Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I'm going to read a Deuteronomy parallel passage. It's slightly different. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the implication, this commandment is transitioning us to the realm of human relationships. However, it is very much connected to our first four commandments in three primary ways. One is the authority. As I said earlier, the first five commandments have authority at the heart of it. It's vertical, us and God and us and our parents. But there's also procreation. Just as God created Adam and Eve, and then our parents created us. So there's procreation. But there's also nurturing. As God takes care of us, so our parents take care of us. Just as it says in scriptures, a believer doesn't take care of his children, he's worse than an unbeliever. And so this is really a wonderful way to look at this transition from the vertical to the horizontal. Now, the implication, all relationships intersect in the home. And God's wisdom is for the home to be a place of blessing. Now, here's some great quotes on the home. The greatest benefits conferred on human life, fatherhood, motherhood, childhood, home become the greatest curse if Jesus Christ is not the head. Oswald Chambers. A home with no head is a disaster. Listen to this. One with two is a monstrosity. John Blanchard. And last from John Bowring, a happy family is but an earlier heaven. So as we head into our next time together, let's spend more time thinking about our parents. And this time between now and our next teaching, if your parents are still alive, thank them for their sacrifices, for the way they loved you. If you're estranged from your mother or father, reach out to them anyway and just affirm your love for them. If they have been wicked towards you, then ask God to help you forgive them in your heart. But be sure that you have the right spirit and heart before the Lord regarding your parents. And may you have the courage and spirit of grace of God to love them with the love of Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.